Hello again. Many of you are familiar with the timeline on the wall in McKenna Hall, which traces our parish history. The timeline depicts not just events from the late 18th century, when the parish was founded, but designates the year 1633, when a group of Englishmen and women, many of them Catholics, set sail from England and landed on March 25th, 1634, on an island they named St. Clement, and in a land they called Maryland. These bold men and women were the very first Catholics in this region and represent our ancestors of faith from which Holy Trinity Parish evolved. Today, on this feast of St. Philip's and James, two of the 12 apostles, we have as our first reading a passage from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. This letter is addressed to an early Christian community from which our Christian faith evolved. Most importantly, you see, folks, this passage from Paul was the first time in recorded history that the resurrection of Jesus was written down. Obviously, most of us, when we think of the resurrection, think that the four evangelists were the first to proclaim it in writing. But all four Gospels were written after Paul's letters. Indeed, after Paul died sometime between 62 and 64 AD. That is to say, the Gospels were written at least 30 years after Jesus' life on earth. Mark probably composed his work in or about the year 70 AD, after the failure of the first Jewish revolt and the destruction of the Jerusalem temple at the hands of the Romans. Matthew's Gospel is believed to have been written around the same time. Meanwhile, the Gospel according to Luke was written around 85 AD, while John's Gospel, the last, was probably composed between 90 and 100 AD. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, however, was written sometime around 53-54 AD. And while addressed to the Corinthians, Paul actually wrote it from Ephesus in Asia Minor, which is in present-day Turkey. You see, Paul had been there a year or two before and had heard rumblings of division, and so he wrote this letter. Most of the letter deals with problems that arose in the early years after Paul's initial missionary visit to Corinth and establishing there of a Christian community. Today's first reading is taken from the 15th chapter, that is, the next to the last chapter of the letter. As a result, it reads like the climax of a great play. Why, you might ask? It's because the way by which Paul proclaimed in writing the resurrection. Notice how in just 10 verses, Paul lists the key events of the resurrection story. Namely, Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Raised on the third day. Appeared to Cephas, that is Peter. Then appeared to the 12. Appeared to 500 more. Appeared to James, then to all apostles, and finally, he appeared to Paul. It is also noteworthy to observe how Paul began this section of his letter. Quote, I delivered to you what I had also received, unquote. This phrase reflects the ways by which Jewish rabbis transmitted their tenets of faith. Paul's expression, therefore, is implying that as a Jewish wisdom figure, is replicating the methods of the rabbis. As theologian Raymond Collins notes, the deliver-receive language was the preferred language to designate the faithful handling on of the tradition that had been received from one's teachers, that Christ died, that he was buried, that he was raised. Folks, when you think about it, this is the proclamation that created the Christian Revolution. Can you imagine hearing and reading it for the first time, that a man named Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he was raised, and that he appeared to Paul, someone whom you may know. And as Collins, in his commentary, notes, Paul adds an emphatic twist when he states through the words, that and then. Notice, that he was buried, that he was raised, that he appeared, and then to the 12. Then he appeared at one time. The triads of then he enables Paul to make his point even more radical. As Collins again notes, quote, rhetorically, the series of the then clauses assures the readers that nothing has been left out. As the inaugural event of the new creation, the resurrection of Christ is an eschatological event. In addition, by the phrase that some have died, Paul recognizes that some, despite their faith, will have died, Christians will continue to die. By this recognition, Paul is implying that the experience of death should not prevent the Corinthians then and we Christians now from believing in the resurrection. Moreover, Paul's listing Cephas and James seems to suggest that these readers would be familiar with them and therefore would enhance Paul's message. Finally, at the end of the passage, Paul mentions he appeared to me and refers to himself as the least of the apostles, thereby alluding to how Paul once persecuted those followers of Jesus. Friends, it is indeed appropriate then that on the day when we celebrate two of the first disciples of Jesus, Philip and James, the church provides us with an opportunity to reflect upon a written passage the first time proclaims the Paschal mystery, that Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and was risen, to which we may respond, Amen. Hallelujah.